All across our land, people are praying privately and in groups, crying out to God for revival. Join us and keep on praying until the revival comes. Are you making note of the five things involved in God's formula for revival as set forth in 2 Chronicles 7:14? We've come to consider the fifth, but let us review the other four first. First, there is identification with God. He speaks of us as my people, and the Holy Spirit bears witness in our hearts that we are the sons of God. That is the key to revival. God calls His people, and they respond. Second, there is brokenness before God. It is expressed as humble themselves. It is taking one's place before God as creature before Creator and sinner before Savior. Third, there is supplication to God. For revival comes only to those who give time to earnest prayers of confession and intercession. Fourth, there is hunger for God as indicated by seeking His face. Revival never comes unless there's someone with a longing for God which can be satisfied with nothing than Himself. And fifth, there is a repenting toward God which meets His requirements to turn from all wicked ways. It is in this requirement of repentance that I direct your attention. To repent is to turn, to change the mind, the emotion, and the will. It is to turn from sin to God to receive His forgiveness and cleansing. Now, God commands us to repent. His command involves four things. One, God commands us to quit our sins. He calls us to cast away all your transgressions which you have committed. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, for He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. There is no repentance from sin until there is a forsaking of sin. Repentance is more than a tearful cheek washing between sinful binges. Second, God commands us to confess our sins. The prophet Hosea calls, "Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously." The Apostle John promised if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is prerequisite to forgiveness, but when we confess sincerely, God always forgives. Third, God commands us to sorrow over our sins. He calls, "Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful." See, God does not try to humiliate us. He looks for sincerity of heart that we're really ready to leave our sins behind in order to have His peace. And fourth, God commands us to cultivate righteousness. Now, what has been wrong is to be replaced by what is right. Obedience takes the place of rebellion. Seeking God replaces forsaking God. Humility replaces pride. Trust in God replaces self-sufficiency. Righteous desires and deeds replace rebellious lifestyle. And God now commands all men everywhere to repent. God demonstrates the way of repentance. He makes it so plain that we could never miss it, except we refuse to do it. The book of Jonah recounts the repentance of the great pagan and wicked city called Nineveh, and these steps are evident. One, they believed God's warning of coming judgment. Second, they proclaimed a fast. Third, they humbled themselves by putting on sackcloth and sitting upon ashes. Fourth, they prayed, crying mightily to God. Fifth, they turned everyone from his wicked ways. And sixth, they received God's forgiveness and deliverance from the judgment which He had forewarned. You can repent that way, can't you? In the Gospel according to Luke, Jesus told of the repentance of the prodigal son. Now notice how he repented. First, he faced the facts of his true condition, for he came to himself. Second, he resolved to return to his father, saying, "I will arise and go to my father." Third, he settled in his mind the confession he would make, saying, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Fourth, he determined to ask for mercy, make me as one of your hired servants. You can repent like that, can't you? Anyone with a sincere heart can follow these steps of repentance. God loves you so much, he not only commands repentance, but shows you how to do it. Oh, how he wants you to return. But God warns against impenitence. A person does not have to repent. God will not force him. But he warns of the dire consequences of impenitence. Examine them. God warns that judgment will come upon impenitence. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The only alternatives are repent or perish. But more, hardness follows impenitence. Jeremiah wrote, you have stricken them, but they've not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They've made their faces harder than rock, and they refuse to return. You see, the longer you delay repentance, the harder repentance will be. And yet again, judgment will come upon the impenitent. Because I have called and you have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of our rebuke, I will laugh at your calamity, I will mock when your terror comes. What a horrible, tragic message from Proverbs chapter 1. It is God's warnings and call to repentance. On the other hand, special blessings are promised of God to those who will repent. Three of them are mentioned in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then I will hear from heaven is the promise to hear and answer prayer. I will forgive their sin is the promise of spiritual cleansing. I will heal their land is the promise of purifying the whole social structure. And that is like receiving life from the dead. It has happened in our nation before. At times when the spiritual life of the churches had waned and the social fabric of the nation was torn, when ethical and moral restraints were cast aside and religion was almost a byword, God has intervened in sovereign grace and given revival. He promises, if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes and does what is lawful and right, he shall live, he shall not die. God wants to give revival now. He warns us of judgment coming upon our generation and then promises, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die? Now this series of studies on God's formula for revival are designed to encourage you to seek the Lord. We desperately need revival today. Revival in a single congregation would be great, and a whole denomination of churches would be greater, but a revival to sweep the nation and cleanse it of its sin is the greatest of all. All across the land, people are praying privately and in groups, crying out to God for revival. Join us. Keep on praying until revival comes. Father, we believe you're ready to respond to the cries of your people and to send a spiritual renewal. And I pray these messages will be used by the Holy Spirit to quicken a spiritual hunger in the hearts of many. Hear us as we cry for cleansing and renewing. Send a revival, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.